نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قد أفلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون، والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون، والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون، والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون، إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين، فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون. Indeed, the believers have been successful. Those who are humble in their prayers, those who turn away from all that is false, and those who purify themselves, and those who guard their chastity, except from their wives or the slaves that their right hands possess, for then they are free from blame. But whoever seeks beyond that, then those are the transgressors. Those who are faithfully true to their trusts and to their covenants, and those who protect their prayers, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ الَّذِينَ يَرِثُونَ الْفِرْدَوْسَ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Those are indeed the inheritors who shall inherit the paradise of Firdaus. They shall live therein forever. These first 9 verses describe the path to success. See, we all point the path to success. You get these self-help books, how to be a winner, how to go through tough times. Allah is giving us a surefire method for attaining success. What is this success? Just in the hereafter or just in the world? Allah says no. For both the world and the hereafter, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. The believers have indeed been successful. Not al-Muslimun, not those who were born saying La ilaha illallah, al-Mu'minun, those who have Iman. And Iman is a higher stage of Islam. Now Allah describes the characteristics, the actions of those who have Iman. See, again and again in the Quran we read, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Those who have Iman and they do good deeds. So Allah is giving us a message that Iman in itself is not enough. Not just قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, that the believers have been successful. We're all believers so we can relax because we'll go to Jannah. No. Those believers who do these following actions. أَلَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Those who are humble in their prayers. What is this quality of humility? Allah didn't say those who read their prayers. Or as elsewhere in the Quran we find, الَّذِينَ يُقِيمُونَ الصَّلَىٰ, those who establish salah. No, even that word's not used here. Those who are humble in their prayers. In other words, prayer is an integral part of their lives, but it's something more than that. This is an inner quality, an inner consciousness, an inner humility that they sense when they're standing before Allah. Now this khushu is not just in our hearts, it's supposed to be manifested in our body as well. We're not supposed to stand arrogantly or languidly or slouching. You know, we're supposed to stand as we would stand before a king. قُومُ لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand before Allah obediently. Stand before Allah as you'd stand before a king. Imagine how we would feel if our boss were to call us. How alertly we would stand. Remember when the principal called us and we were standing in the principal's office. You'd stand at attention, focused, alert, concentrating on what he's telling you. قُومُ لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand before Allah alertly, attentively, and with humility. We find that the Prophet ﷺ saw a man playing with his beard. And many people do this, you know, they're fidgeting, they're yawning, they're looking here and there. Sometimes they're adjusting their dubatta, sometimes they're rearranging the prayer mat. So the Prophet ﷺ commented that if there was khushu in his heart, that khushu would have been in his body as well. Like people say, oh, Allah knows what's in my heart. Don't pass judgments on me. Allah knows how much I'm thinking of Him at this moment. It's not enough for that internal to be pure. That purity, that humility should be manifested on our body as well. And in the same way, people who pray very fast and who are reading, who are racing through their prayers, they go down, bang their head a couple of times, stand up again, and then they've read their salat in a couple of minutes or so. قُومُ لِلَّهِ قَانِتِينَ. Stand before Allah with obedience, with sensitivity, with humility, with deference, with awe. And Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّهُ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who turn away from all that is false, from all that is vain. What is love? Love is everything unnecessary, everything trivial. Whether it's our conversation, when we're just sitting and passing time, like people say, oh, I'm just killing time. That's how much time we have that we can afford to kill it? We don't even know when the angel of death is going to show up. Yet we blithely talk of, oh, come, you know, I'm so bored, let's just pass time, let's just kill time. Then we find every pursuit which is vain, which is unnecessary, whether it's watching movies, whether it's reading trashy fiction that's not going to help us in this world or the next, everything that is unnecessary, that is trivial. What did the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tell us? Min husni islam al mar'i tarkuhu ma la ya'nihi. The beauty of a man's Islam is that he abandons that which does not concern him. What is our life revolving around? Unnecessary pursuits, unnecessary conversations, unnecessary thoughts, unnecessary daydreams. Allah says, no, if you want success, then you need to focus. Because the moment doesn't have time to waste. The moment knows how precious each moment is. He doesn't have time to sit around and just idly pass time. He knows that every moment is serious. In every moment, he's either earning something for himself or something against himself. Now, why did it follow right after khushu in salat? If we think about it, if we've been watching a movie or reading a book and then immediately afterwards we get up and pray, what are we thinking of while we're praying? What we just saw, what we just read, what we were just talking about. But if we've been reading the Quran, or we've been discussing Islam, or doing anything sublime, or doing anything serious, it doesn't necessarily have to be reading the Quran, anything that has a serious purpose behind it, then you'll find it's easier to focus in salat, because your mind's not daydreaming. So Allah links the two things. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. They're linked. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِلزَّكَاةِ فَاعِلُونَ. So they don't have time to waste. So what are these mu'mineen doing then all the time? They're purifying themselves. How are they purifying themselves? They're purifying their thoughts. They're purifying their speech. They're purifying their actions. They're purifying their lives. See, Allah tells us in the Quran that the human soul has two equal components in it. A measure of taqwa and a measure of fujur. What is taqwa? Allah consciousness. Goodness, if you like. And what is fujur? Sinfulness, wickedness. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ مَنْ زَكَّاهَا. The one who purifies his nafs, he has attained success. وَقَدْ خَابَ مَنْ دَسَّاهَا. The one who stunts his soul, he has failed. So Allah says, not just that after having given up love, they're sitting around. No, they're purifying themselves. That's why they don't have time for love. They've got so much to do, such little time in which to do it. They are focused on purifying themselves. How do we purify ourselves? By iman and by good company. See, again and again we find in the functions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yatlu alayhim ayatihi. He recites upon the people his verses. Wa yu'allimuhum al-kitaba wal-hikmah. He teaches them the book in wisdom. Wa yuzakkihim. He purifies them. People say, oh, I know what's in the Quran. Don't tell me what's in the Quran. I've read the Quran several times. That's not enough. We need to purify ourselves. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who protect their private parts, who protect their chastity. See, people say, my heart is pure, so I don't need to focus on externals, because Allah knows my heart is pure. If the internal was enough, why is Allah saying those who protect their private parts? To remind us that a mu'min is a balanced person. He purifies his internal and he purifies his externals. He doesn't just say, well, my heart is pure and Allah knows how much I love him. No. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِفُرُوجِهِمْ حَافِظُونَ. Those who protect their private parts, who protect their chastity. And how do we do that? By dressing the way Allah has told us to. إِلَّا عَلَىٰ أَزْوَاجِهِمْ. Except upon their spouses. أَوْ مَا مَلَكَتْ أَيْمَانُهُمْ. Or the slaves that their right hands possess. فَإِنَّهُمْ غَيْرُ مَلُومِينَ. Such will not be blamed. We find in Islam a positive nature of marital relations. And Islam is the only religion actually in which the Prophet ﷺ told us that when a man and his wife have marital relations together, it's like a sadaqah. They're rewarded for that. And this is the only religion which views marital relations in this positive light. Such are free from blame, but whoever seeks beyond that, Now this is a reference not just to extramarital relations, but to all other forms of physical relations. Anal sex is haram in Islam. Oral sex, masturbation, all unnatural perversions are absolutely haram. Allah says such people who are obsessed with discovering new sick ways, فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْعَادُونَ, such are the transgressors. وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعْهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, those people, now Allah tells us another positive quality of the mu'mineen. If you look at these qualities, we find they're all positive. We have this perception of Islam, oh, Islam is a religion of don'ts. Don't do this and don't do that. It's so negative. Look at these ayahs, they're all positive. Those who are humble in their prayers, those who stay away from love, it's a positive action, not a negative one. Those who purify themselves, those who protect their private parts, and those who protect their trust, who are true to their trusts and their covenants. What trusts are these? What amanat? Every blessing Allah has entrusted us with is an amana. Our time, our wealth, our energies, our talents, our knowledge, our children, all that we have been given is a trust that we're holding for Allah. And when we return to Allah, He will ask us, did you fulfill the rights of these trusts? Or were you too busy having a good time? وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ, those who are true to their covenants. What covenants are these? Whether covenants made with Allah or covenants made with people. What is the covenant we've all made with Allah? La ilaha illallah. And the covenants made with people, Muslims or non-Muslims. Now how ironical that Muslims today are famed for their treachery, famed for their dishonesty, for their lack of trustworthiness. That's why we're not succeeding. Allah told us in ayah number 1, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ, the believers have succeeded when they do all this. And since we're not doing any of these, or we're doing some and not doing the rest, then we didn't expect success. Those who protect their salah. Again, it concludes with salah. It began with salah and it concludes with salah. Why? Salah is the core of iman. Salah represents our relationship with Allah. See, we have this concept, this limited concept of salah, that we pray because Allah has told us to pray and we pray because we love Allah. That's not it. When we read salah, if we read it with khushur, we sense Allah's love for us. And when we sense Allah's love for us, we are better able to communicate that love to the rest of His creation. Salah teaches us love. Salah teaches us how to care for others. Because when we read salah with khushu, not otherwise, but with khushu, then we sense that intimacy with Allah. We sense that feeling that Allah is cherishing me. Allah is taking care of me here. And so we want to communicate that joy, that radiance to others as well. That's why it concludes with salah. Those who protect their salah. What a word to use, protect. What do we protect? Something we value, something we cherish. A jewel, our children, our time, our money. I cherish my children. We hear people say that. So Allah says, protect your salah. Don't treat it lightly. Don't treat it as a burden. Protect it. Value it. And how do we protect our salah? Allah's already spoken of our inner attitude, our inner emotions while we're praying. Now Allah says, protect your salah by protecting your purity, making sure that you're in a state of wuzu, making sure that you're reading at the right time. Remember the hadith in which the Prophet ﷺ was asked, which is the best of deeds? And he replied, As-salatu fi waqtiha. Salat in its proper time. Not just salah, salat in its proper time. Like people who say, oh well, you know, I know Allah's Ghafoor or Rahim. No, the internal is important, that we're focusing on Allah, and the external attitude is also important. Those who protect their salah, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْوَارِثُونَ, such people are the inheritors. Now why does Allah say inheritors? To remind us that if we do all these actions, then Jannah is our legal right. And Allah does not break His promise. What will these people inherit? Al-Firdaus. Those who will inherit Al-Firdaus. What is Al-Firdaus? The highest level of Jannah. The peak of Jannah. The Prophet ﷺ told us, when you ask for Jannah, ask for Firdaus. And what do we say? No, no, if Allah admits me in the lowest level of paradise, I'll be very happy and I won't ask for more. When we see Jannatul Firdaus, believe me, we'll wish that we had strived for Jannatul Firdaus. So if we want Jannatul Firdaus, then these are the actions we need to cultivate within ourselves. Hum fiha khalidun. They will live therein forever. It's not that difficult, is it? 50, 60 years of leading our lives according to these actions, and we get an eternity of joy. What a deal made by Allah. فَاسْتَبْشِرُوا بِبَيْعِكُمُ الَّذِي Allah tells us in the Quran, rejoice in this bargain. It's an amazing bargain that only Rabbul Alameen could have given us. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ سُلَالَةٍ مِنْ طِينٍ Now after telling us of this peak of mankind, that we can attain these supreme heights of mu'minun who are doing all this, Allah reminds us, think about what you were in the beginning. Indeed, we created man out of an extract of clay. Thereafter we made him as a drop in a safe lodging. Then we made the drop into a clot. Then we made the clot into a little lump of flesh. Then we made out of that little lump of flesh bones. Then we clothed the bones with flesh. And then we brought it forth as another creation. فَتَبَارَكَ اللَّهُ أَحْسَنُ الْخَالِقِينَ Blessed is Allah, the best of the creators. Our great inventors, our great discoverers, what have they been able to invent? Nothing that could compare with this creation of man. Blessed is Allah, the best of creators. And just think of that little baby evolving in those three darknesses. Subhanallah. Is that all there is to it? ثُمَّ إِنَّكُمْ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ لَمَيِّتُونَ Then after that, you will die. Don't just concentrate on this life, remember that hereafter. Then again, surely you will be resurrected on the Day of Judgment. And indeed, we have created above you seven heavens and we are never unaware of the creation. There's an opinion that this refers to the seven orbits after earth. And we send down from the sky rain in due measure. And we gave it lodging in the earth, and indeed we are able to take it away. Then we brought forth for you therewith gardens of date palms and grapes, wherein is much fruit for you, and whereof you eat. And the tree that springs forth from Mount Sinai, that grows oil, and it is a relish for the eaters. This is a reference to olive, and we know about the qualities of olive. And indeed in the cattle there is a lesson for you. We give you to drink milk of that which is in their bellies, and there are in them numerous benefits for you, and of them you eat, and on them and on ships you are carried. See, Allah reminds us of His divine blessings upon us. He didn't just create us and leave us to fend for ourselves, as some people believe. Allah doesn't care, Allah's not watching. No, He's doing all this for us, and so much more. وَلَقَدْ أَرْسَلْنَا نُوحًا إِلَىٰ قَوْمِهِ Subhanallah! He didn't just provide for our physical guidance, for our physical sustainment, He provided for us spiritual nourishing as well. Indeed, we sent Nuh to his people and he said, O my people, worship Allah. You have no other God but He. Will you not then be afraid? But the chiefs of his people who disbelieved said, He is no more than a human being like you. He seeks to make himself superior to you. Had Allah willed, He surely could have sent down angels. Never did we hear such a thing among our fathers of old. He is only a man in whom is madness, so wait for him a while. Nuh said, O my Lord, help me because they deny me. So we revealed to him, saying, Construct the ship under our eyes and under our revelation. Then when our command comes and water gushes forth from the oven, take on board of each kind too, male and female, and your family, except those thereof against whom the word has already gone forth. And address me not in favor of those who have done wrong. Indeed they are about to be drowned. And when you have embarked on the ship, you and whoever is with you, then say, All praises are for Allah, who has saved us from the people who are wrongdoers. وَقُلْ رَبِّ أَنزِلْنِي مُنزَلًا مُبَارَكًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْمُنزَلِينَ And say, O my Lord, cause me to land at a blessed landing place, for you are the best of those who bring to land. And this is a dua for entering any place. Indeed in this there are signs, for sure we are putting people to the test. Do we realize this? That it's an examination hall? That any minute the pens could be taken away? No, we're too busy having a good time. Then after them, we created another generation. And we sent to them a messenger from among themselves, saying, Worship Allah, you have no God but He. Will you then not be afraid? and the chiefs of his people who disbelieved and denied the meeting in the hereafter and whom we had given the luxuries and comforts of this life said, He is no more than a human being like you. He eats of that which you eat and he drinks of that which you drink. If you were to obey a human being like yourself, then indeed you would be losers. People say, oh, you're losers if you follow Islam. You're losers if you give up this world for the hereafter. Does he promise you that when you have died and have become dust and bones, you shall come out alive? Hayhata hayhata lima tu'adun. Far, very far is that which you are promised. The Epicurean view of life, eat, drink and be merry, for tomorrow we die. Now we might not be saying it, but if that's what all our actions are about, if that's all we're doing, eating, drinking, having a merry time, going to parties, living the life of this world, then what can we expect in the hereafter if we've sent nothing ahead? There is nothing but our life of this world. We die and we live, and we are not going to be resurrected. He is only a man who has invented a lie against Allah, and we are not going to believe in him. He said, O my Lord, help me, because they deny me. Allah said, in a little while they will definitely be regretful. So the awful cry overtook them with truth, and we made them as rubbish of dead plants. Look at the divine contempt. When people don't value the hereafter, when people treat Allah's book as something not worth bothering about, then in Allah's eyes they too are not worthy of being thought about. So away with the people who are wrongdoers. Who is a zalim? One who deprives someone of his right and gives it to someone else. Then after them, we created other generations. No nation can advance their term, nor can they delay it. And we sent our messengers in succession. Every time they came to a nation, their messenger, they denied him. So we made them follow one another and we made them as stories. That's all they are. Qawmi Aad, Qawmi Thamud. Stories. فَبُعْدَ لِقَوْمٍ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ So away with the people who have no iman. And how do we manifest that iman? Through our actions. Then we send Musa and his brother Harun with our signs and a clear authority to Fir'aun and his chiefs, but they behaved insolently and they were a people self-exalting. They said, shall we believe in two men like ourselves when their people are obedient to us with humility? And so they denied them both, Musa and Harun, and became of those who were destroyed. And indeed we gave Musa the scripture, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ in order that they may be guided. And we made the son of Maryam and his mother as a sign, and we gave them refuge on high grounds, a place of rest, security, and flowing streams. يَا أَيُّهَا الرُّسُلُ كُلُوا مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَعَمَلُوا صَالِحًا O messengers, eat of the pure things and do good deeds. See, this is the Islamic concept of ibadah. Allah doesn't say, give up the dunya and sit in a cave worshipping me all day long. No. We are allowed to utilize the worldly blessings, but we are supposed to remember all the time that there is a creator who gave us these blessings. And one who must be thanked, one who must be remembered, and above all, one who must be obeyed. Indeed, I am well acquainted with what you do. وَإِنَّ هَذِهِ أُمَّتُكُمْ أُمَّةً وَاحِدًا Indeed, this your religion is one religion, and I am your Lord. فَاتَّقُونِي So fear me alone. Who have we made into our gods? Society. What will people say? What will my friends say? We've made our nafs into a god. No, I'm not ready for Islam. I'm not ready to read the Quran. Allah says, I am your Lord. I am Rabbukum. فَاتَّقُونِي So fear me above all. فَتَقَتَّعُوا أَمْرَهُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ زُبُرًا So they have broken their deen among them into sects. كُلُّ حِسْبٍ بِمَا لَدَيْهِمْ فَرِحُونَ Each group rejoicing in what is with it. So leave them in their error for a time. Do they think that in wealth and children with which we enlarge them, we hasten unto them with good deeds? People say, well, if I was sinning, surely Allah would punish me. But life's going smoothly for me. So that means Allah is pleased with me. Allah says, it is a test, but they do not realize it. بَلَّا يَشْعُرُونَ They don't realize it. Now in this ayah number 54 and 53, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us something very important. That this deen was created as one deen, so mankind could live in harmony. So Muslims could live in harmony, implementing the law of God. And what happened? People broke it up. What is the greatest cause of Muslim decline today? Muslim sectarianism, Muslim disunity, Muslim division, The Muslims are so busy fighting amongst themselves, they don't have time to even think of fighting the enemy. They don't even have time to think of implementing Islam. They haven't even figured out what Islam really is all about. I'd like to read out an extract that vividly illustrates this ayah, and it also tells us the solution to the problem. Mosques and Islamic centers in Europe and America bring together a vast array of peoples from all over the Muslim world. Such an assemblage of cultures produces many differences of opinion. Such a quarrel arose one night in the mosque at the University of San Francisco. This happened at the height of the Iran-Iraq war. The scene became explosive. The Saudis raged against the Kuwaitis and Iranians. The Pakistani students allied themselves with the Saudis. The white Americans defended the Iranians. The African Americans were against the white Americans. All sorts of malicious and racial attacks flew back and forth. You Shia are kafirs. You Saudis worship your king. What do Americans know about Islam? Pakistanis are nothing but the lackeys of the Saudis. Palestinians got what they deserved. And the arguments are all familiar ones. Faces were red with rage. Shouts became threatening roars. This was definitely going to be the end of our community. From over in the corner of the room, a desperate cry rang out. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. It was Ilyas, the always quiet student from Indonesia. He hardly ever spoke a word. The room quieted. What did he say? Several people asked each other. Ilyas shouted again at the top of his lungs. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. Say it, say it. Most of us murmured confusedly. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. What does he want? Someone whispered. Say it like you mean it, he screamed. Maybe it was because he said it with so much authority, but for some reason we now felt the need to obey this normally meek and inconspicuous member of our mosque. Our voices rose in unison. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. You could feel the hatred dissipating. All eyes were fixed on Ilyas. The faces of the brothers looked mesmerized. Some showed sadness, some remorse, and others excitement. Again Ilyas bellowed, again. This time we all rang out in one passionate cry. La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah. He stopped, froze there for a moment with tears in his eyes. That's what it's all about, brothers. What it's all about, brothers, he pleaded, his voice cracking. That's what binds us. At that, the brothers began to slowly approach one another. What could have exploded into a spectacle of pandemonium was now a scene of handshakes, brotherly hugs, and sincere apologies. The next day, the mosque was back to normal, and I never heard anyone discuss the argument again. We all forget that. That's what binds us. La ilaha illallah. Allah says, when people break their religion into sects, so leave them in their error for a time.